There you are.
Hello there. I expect the intro to be that sharp. What's happening? I'm Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sportsnista, here on a Wednesday version of Levels. Usually with my Friday partner in here today on Wednesday is Ramblin' Ralph Velez. You know him as a ring announcer for Mayweather Promotions. What's happening, Ralph?
What's up? Happy Wednesday. It's a little different situation we got going on, but we got special guests, and special guests call for special occasions, right? So we in it.
You know, because we were going to take the day off, but when we found out that Edgar Berlanga, super middleweight, 14-0 with 14 KOs in less than 14 rounds was available, we made it happen. So let's go ahead and... There you are. The chosen one.
Hey, how
one.
You doing?
What's going on, bro?
Edgar, it's so good to see you, man. We kind of got wires crossed last week. We was going to take today off, but when we heard you were available, we were like, let's go.
Yeah.
So thank you.
No, thank you, guys.
So you are Brooklyn born.
Yes.
We see you all over New York City. What's it been like for you as the streak of now your 14-0 has continued?
It feels amazing. Right now I'm in a position where I got everything in the palm of my hands, and it's just an amazing feeling. You know, I'm blessed by the Most High, Jesus Christ, for obviously being in this position and eventually becoming world champion and just putting on for New York City and for Puerto Rico and just for all the Latinos out there.
Now, for me, when I do my gigs, man, it takes me a while to be able to be comfortable with people, with fighters, with celebrities that associate themselves with Floyd. I mean, there's plenty of them. And I'm looking at your Instagram, bro, and you've got like Tracy Morgan, you got like Fat Joe. These guys are already backing you up right now, so young in your career. Some fighters, even world champions, don't even get that support from superstars, so to speak, so that they can help you spread the word. How's that been, man, to be able to go from, a year ago to trying to fight and put your name out there to now all of a sudden you got millions of people that know who you are and you're back to hanging out with Fat Joe and Tracy Morgan?
It's crazy, man. You know, I was just talking to my girl last night about it. You know, I was just having a big brunch with him at his mansion on Sunday with my mother. And I was just like, damn, you know, like it's an amazing feeling. You know, last year I wasn't here. Last year, not too many people knew about me, and fast forward to today, you know, I'm on SportsCenter, I'm all over ESPN, I'm all over the world right now, man, and it's just an amazing feeling, you know, to have these big celebrities backing me up, and not only backing me up, but they're mentoring me, because they've been in my position before, you know, not as far as being a fighter, but, you know, they're actors, and, you know, you got rappers and stuff, so it's all the same thing, man, it's just, you know, a different industry, but it's a blessing.
Yeah, you mentioned that you weren't here this time last year. We last saw you fighting in the top ranked bubble here in Las Vegas. When during the streak did you think maybe you were on to something? I mean, was it the fight in Madison Square Garden? I think it was Barboza, April?
Yeah, so? April. Yeah,
was it before then, or was it that fight where you really started to wrap your hands around it?
It was before that. You could say around that time, because I just got signed with Top Rank, you know, and I feel like there it took off a little bit, but not so much. I feel like the fight that really pushed me a lot more was obviously this last fight, you know, where now I'm all over the world right now. You know, I'm on ESPN, SportsCenter, I'm all over social media, you know, and I was just in a messed up position last year. And it's just crazy,
man.
And, what you said?
How so? You said you were in a messed up position.
You know, like, just, you know, I was broke. I was in Florida. You know, I was staying in back of a patient drug treatment center, you know, in a hotel. I was living in a hotel room, training, just trying to make a way, you know, and thinking I was making a way, and I wasn't. It was the wrong decision that I made, whatever. I came back over here. I changed my team. You know, I changed management. And, you know, sky's the limit now.
I was going to ask you, how'd you end up in Florida from New York to train?
So what happened was I was training with a guy named Mark Ferreira, you know, and he's an amazing trainer. You know, I take nothing away from him, but he had a big business opportunity with my ex-manager, and my ex-manager's from Florida. So he wound up moving out there, and he brought me out there with him, you know, and I just felt like it wasn't a good idea. You know, I'm always with my dad. My whole career, I've been with my father, you know, and that made me going over there, I split with my dad. You know, I wasn't speaking to him as much. He wasn't involved in my career as much, you know, and it was just a bad thing because my father was there with me since day one. But, you know, thank God we made the right decisions. I came back home and we back together and I got the best manager now in the world. And obviously Andre Rozier, uncle that trains me, best trainer in the world. And like I said, sky's the limit.
Now, speaking of your father and speaking of Latinos that you mentioned earlier, our culture is more of like stuck to the parents and stuck to the family, real, real close at all times. You have a picture of your mother on your social media, and tell us how that works into your career. Obviously, you're very close to her. What kind of influence does she have on you, even when you were in Florida? How close are you guys, and how does that affect your everyday to day struggles with trying to balance? Hey, I'm an athlete. I have to take care of myself, but I'm all over the place, and I'm hanging out with Fat Joe. Yeah. And I got millions of followers. And I'm on top 10 ESPN knockouts, man. I'm number one. Like, how does she help you balance all that?
You know, my mom is not so much of a big fan of boxing, you know. And I always say, like, me being with her or me going to her house and staying with her, I get away from a lot of things, you know, because, you know, me and my mom, we don't talk about boxing. Everything is just about me and her, you know. I know my mother loves me for me. And loves me, not because of boxing, obviously she's my mom, you know, and, you know, moms have that soft heart. And I feel like when I'm with her, man, I feel like I escape everything. You know, the boxing, the drama, everything. I go home with her and just being with her is amazing, man. And, you know, she understands that I'm blowing up. She understands everything, the struggle. She's seen it all. You know, and I always tell every day that I do this for her, you know, because when I was younger and she was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, working doubles at her job, I seen everything. You know, I always told her, yo, listen, mom, I'm gonna retire you. And she used to laugh, like, oh yeah, 4 a.m, like, yeah, you're gonna retire me? And I'm like, watch, mom, I'm telling you, that day's gonna come. I'm telling you, man, you're not gonna have to work no more. You know, I'm gonna get you that house. I'm gonna make sure you're good. And I always tell her that. And now she's starting to see, because obviously I brought her to Tracy Morgan. She sees Fat Joe's with me. She sees all the big reggaeton artists behind me. So she's like, damn, like, it's really happening. Everything that he's telling me, he's actually coming to light now.
That's good.
They say that mama's love is unconditional, but daddy's love got conditions. Yeah. And so we're talking with 23-year-old super middleweight Edgar Berlanga out of Brooklyn. What are some of the conditions that your dad has for you as you're training?
My dad is he's the biggest support system on my team. You know, my dad's been there. For me, he's been pushing me in days that I wanted to quit boxing. He kept me going, you know. And like I always say, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. And I'm always going to say that even when I become champ, I'm always said, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in this position because he's backed me up so much. We've been through so much struggle, me and my father, you know, with money situation. We were tight and we couldn't go to tournaments, you know. And he made a way for us to go to those tournaments and for me just to get that experience. You know, and, you know, my dad is my manager. My dad is my number one supporter, man. He's there for me, obviously, besides my mother. But my dad is just, he's been there for me since day one.
Did your dad introduce you to boxing? So in 2016, you turned pro. But from what I understand, you're an athlete, and baseball might have been your first love.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I said that, you know, me growing up, I was 7 years old, 6 years old. I jumped on a baseball team. I thought I was going to be a baseball player. I love baseball. I was raised in Douglas Projects, you know, living with my mother. And Yankees, yeah.
I was going to say the right team, right?
Slow it down. Yeah. Slow it down, CC.
So, yeah, you know, me being young. Hello?
You back. Yeah, you back.
Yeah. Me being as a kid, I used to always look out the window from the project windows and I used to see the kids playing baseball. And it was a big park in the middle of the project. You know, it was probably like 4 or 5 buildings. And right in the middle was like the playground where all the kids used to play. And I used to be on the 16th floor looking out. I used to see them hitting the ball. And one day I just told my mom, like, listen, I want to get a glove, you know. I wanted to get a ball. I went down and I started playing baseball. I thought I was going to be a baseball player. You know, my dad was obviously, he was away, you know, and he wasn't around. So I thought I was going to be a baseball player, so he came home and he introduced me to the sport of boxing, and I left baseball alone.
Now, we asked this question to all the people that hang out in the MGM Grand Bubble. Can you hear me?
Got it now?
Let me see if I can hear him. I can't hear him, yeah.
Can you hear me? Are you there?
I can't hear him.
We're talking. Yes.
No. I can hear you.
Got me, Ralph, one more time.
Can you hear me now or no?
No,
you
good. Yeah.
No.
What was your question, Ralph?
No, my question was to him. You know, ask him how he maintained in the bubble. We've asked everybody. We've asked Bernardo Osuna. We've asked many of people that have been there. Bernardo was there, obviously, for a few weeks on end. How was he able to maintain that? And I'll log back in now. You can ask him.
Yeah, so Ralph is asking you, we've talked with quite a few people who've been inside of the top-ranked bubble, including Osuna. He wanted to know, how did you maintain while you were in the bubble? How did you actually, what did you spend your time on? How soon did you get there, and when did you leave?
Yeah, I didn't want to go too much days. I didn't want to go, like, usually fighters go like 4 or 5 days before the fight. I wanted to go at least like 3, you know, because I know that it's rough in there, you know. And I made the best of it. If anything, I felt like it was a lot of tranquility just being with my father and Uncle Dre, you know, my trainer and stuff, just being there. I was alone, focused. And it wasn't that bad, you know. I enjoyed myself, and I enjoyed the experience and the moment.
We have Ralph back. Can we hear you now, Ralph?
I heard it. Yeah, I hope you can hear me now. I heard him.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason why I asked that question, man, is because I was there that weekend when you were there, and little slip ups, like, you know, it was obviously an accident. Josue Vargas' father happened to just step outside the bubble. He gets bust. They see him. He can't go back in there. So, I mean, for the future, you know, you if you're used to it and you're good there, man. A lot of people tell me it's just like sparring. We talked to Angelo Leo the other day after his world title fight. He's like, man, we have wars and sparring, so it ain't no difference. The only thing difference is you're the commentator. You know, Mark Kriegel wrote a good piece on you, so now you guys are buddies. So now he really cares about you. So I would imagine that it's just like being inside the gym and being sparring. I didn't hear your full answer, but I would imagine that I'm sure it didn't really affect you too much, and it actually worked out for you good. So
no, yeah, it did, man. As far as the fighting, you know, I still had that same motivation that I had with fans. You know, I'm used to it. You know, having the garden filled up, whatever. You know, fighting anywhere, man. I have a lot of fans. I have a lot of backing. So, you know, I put in the back of my head that I knew I have millions of people watching. I have my family back home, having fight parties, big fight parties back home. You know, you know, I had my girl, I had a lot of, you know, I had my brother, I had my cousins fly out to Vegas, and they was in the MGM Grand in the lobby watching the fight on TV. So I already knew this. You know, I already knew that I had a whole bunch of people tuned in. And I already knew I had a whole bunch of other big people that I didn't know that was tuned in, that was actually tuned in to the fight. Mm-hmm. You know, Tracy Morgan had a big fight party at his house, you know, his mansion, Fat Joe too. So it was just motivation, man. I already knew in back of my head that I had that type of support back home, and I had to just prove myself.
Yeah, you're definitely must-see TV. We see Ebony Bridges, a female boxer out of Australia, is chiming in, saying how much she enjoys watching you. And so I don't know, what time is it for her
now? What's up, Ebony?
It's like, might be 8, 9 in the morning. No, I think it's almost noon for her. So she not so long ago woke up. So you definitely are must-see TV. But even though you kind of came on the top rank scene in 2016, you've had 162 amateur fights. Am I correct?
Yeah. I'm like 17 losses, 8-time national champion. And I had a lot of experience in amateurs. You know, it was a lot of money wasted going to those tournaments, you know, especially my dad had to put in, man, and lose a lot of money, you know, flying to different tournaments and stuff and just paying for a lot of different things.
You've been sparring with Sergey Derevchenko. And what have you learned sparring with fighters who have so much more experience than you do?
It's a great feeling. And not only that, it's a great feeling knowing that I hold my own. You know, having him come after me every sparring, like, yo, you know, you're getting better. You know, if I was to say you, I think you're ready for a world championship fight, you know, but he knows that I'm young and, you know, it takes time. and I still have to build myself and get that experience. But I mean, he knows I'm in there with the best, you know, and I give him that work that not a lot of fighters give him.
Now, speaking of which, we all in our careers, whether we're barely beginning or we're in the middle of it, we have certain people that we see. Like for me, it's Jimmy Lennon. He's a friend of mine. You can't want to be like that dude. Or Bernardo Osuna. Like, I want to see myself as that in 2 or 3 years. Who do you see yourself as? Like, maybe you see yourself envisioning fighting in a couple of years, but you say, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna try to model after this guy right here, and then eventually, when I get there, I'm gonna fight him, and I want to do that for the straps. Like, who did you see growing up in your career? Like, okay, I want to model myself after that guy.
If anyone. When I was younger, I was about like 2, 3 years old. I looked up to, and I still look up to him, Tito Trinidad. You know, I just got off the phone with him.
You did. He was on your Instagram too. I saw that.
Yeah, I was on the phone with him as well, and you know him. Obviously, he's the GOAT for me, man. Especially that he had the island going crazy, you know. And him, then you have Miguel Cotto. Miguel Cotto was like my favorite fighter ever as well. You know, him and Miguel Cotto, and then, you know, Floyd Mayweather and Andre Ward and all these guys. But, you know, I like to look at different fighters, you know, greats, and just grab a little bit from everybody. I grab a little bit. And I make my own style, and I put it to what I like. You know, I grab a little bit of Andre Ward, a little bit of, you know, Floyd Mayweather, a little bit of Felix Tito Trinidad, Miguel Cotto, and then I just mix it up. I throw it in a basket, and I mix it up, and I see what I get.
Now we have. I'm sorry, Cece. One more. I'm gonna ask one more question, then I'll let you get out of. Because if I don't ask him now, I'm gonna forget it. Because we're gonna move on. You not only have made a name for yourself with celebrities, but also, champions in your division are already being asked about you. One of them in particular is someone that I know very well, David Benavidez, who fights this Saturday. He said, you know what? I know who he is. I know he's got good skills. Like, down the line, he'd be fantastic to do this Mexico-Puerto Rican feud like we had back in the 80s and 90s. I mean, what does that mean to you when you hear fighters like that who already have straps that are already mentioning your name? Does it make you even more hungry, or do you just stay the path knowing that you'll get there eventually?
Yeah, more hungry, of course, because I'm always gonna be more hungry. You know, I don't like to settle for less. I feel like with me, I have a mentality of Floyd or Mayweather. You know, with all the money that he had, you know, everybody thinks that, oh, you know, let's see if when he gets, you know, a little bit more bigger, let's see if he's gonna get big headed and stay out the gym and stuff. And I just keep that hungry mentality. You know, I want everything. You know, at the end of the day, it's legacy. You know, besides the money, because obviously that's what we do it for too, is the money, but is also that legacy that you leave behind when you retire. You know, your name is going to be in the books of the Hall of Fame of boxing forever, you know. And it's a blessing to have a guy like that, David Benavidez. He's a WBC world champ, you know, and he's Mexican. I'm Puerto Rican. And, yeah, man, it's going to be a big fight eventually if we ever cross that line and we ever fight with each other. I feel like that fight is going to happen soon, you know, God willing, and it's going to be a good fight.
The fight, I feel like, has to happen soon enough, because how likely is it for you to move up to light heavyweight?
I don't know. I just moved up to the super middleweight. So, I want to stay here and, you know, win a world title, a few world titles, and then, yeah, eventually I'll move up.
Now, you mentioned that you're trained by Andre Rozier. A lot of folks have been talking about how it would be nice to see you to come back to your stool and maybe do a couple of more rounds. What is Andre telling you about that? Is he saying, hey, you ain't getting paid for overtime, or just take your shot? Or are you looking to maybe get some more work in?
You know, he always tells me we ain't getting paid overtime. You know, so don't take it easy on nobody. And that's the mentality. That's the killer mentality. He can't. If I always had that killer mentality as a pro, he can't come in and take that out of me. He loves it. You know, I have a killer mentality, and it's a killer instinct. And that's what I have. And if a dude is going to get out the first round, he got to earn it. That's all I would say. He got to earn it. And if I hurt him, if I hit him with a shot, I'm on him. I'm not going to let nobody live, because of the fact that I, like what Tyson used to say, he was feared of getting hurt, of another man hurting him. And that's the same type of fear I have. I have a fear of me getting hurt. If I don't hurt him, he's going to hurt me. And that's just that's my mentality every time I go in the ring.
You talked about Mike Tyson. I've heard people say that you are the Puerto Rican Mike Tyson. Did you see Mike versus the Shark the other day?
Nah, man.
Did you hear about that?
Nah, I got to look at it.
Yeah, there. So it's Shark Week. I think it's a National Geographic Channel or so, and they had Mike Tyson versus some sharks. So you should check it out.
Yeah, would
you
be fighting everybody right now? You gonna fight everybody?
I don't know. Mike Tyson's a different breed, man. You know, he's a different breed, and he's also one of my idols as well. Because everybody obviously is saying Mike Tyson, Puerto Rican Mike Tyson, and it's also a blessing. And I'm gonna be talking with him next week. Tracy's gonna, you know, get me together with Tyson and stuff, and I'm gonna see if I have some lunch with him.
Oh, right on. I got one more question. I'm gonna let Ralph close us out today. Okay. So we like to play a game called Two Truths and a Lie. So it lets us get to know you a little bit better. Okay. And so you're gonna give us two things about you that are true, and then make up one, and then Ralph and I have to guess which one you lied about. So, Two Truths and a Lie with Edgar Berlanga, 23-year-old super middleweight, also known as the Chosen One.
All right, so two truths you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I like to eat.
You got to give us something a little bit more than that.
I don't know.
You're 168 pounds. I know you like to eat. Jeremy, did you pop in? You're like, wait a minute now.
That's the truth about I like to eat.
You can't tell us it's the truth.
Okay, all right. So two more truths and a lie.
Two more.
He's working his way to it. He's working. You put him on the spot.
I'm sorry. Wow. I like to go skydiving. Oh, damn.
All right, you like to go skydiving? Give us one more.
All right.
One of them got to be a lie.
I already know which one to lie. He Latino. You ain't got to tell me. His game's already over.
I like to race cars.
Can I answer this?
One more.
Okay, one more. Go for it. All right.
Because you said it's three, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Two truths and a lie.
Yeah.
That's right.
You can give us another one. We just got to guess which one is the lie.
It's the lie.
I like to watch Netflix.
All right. Cece, I'm going to answer this one. All right? Ain't no damn Latino jumping out of no skydiving, no damn planes, bro. I know that already. we'll be the ones that be like, damn. That's this shit. Nah, am I right? That's the lie, right?
Yeah,
that's what I think. I mean, we've seen you on Instagram. I know that you like to race cars, and so yeah, you know, skydiving, man.
Hey, we leave that for the Anglos. We don't. The Latinos don't jump out of planes, bro.
Anybody else? I ain't jumping out on damn plane.
Right? Me, I'm scared of jumping out of a plane. What?
All right, I'll go next. I announced Mayweather tension in Tokyo in front of 60,000 fans. I've been married twice, and my first ever show was ESPN Friday Night Fights that I lied my way to get into to announce a card.
Oh, I know the answer to this, so Edgar, I'm going to let you go ahead and guess which one was the lie.
Wait, what was the second one you said? You said something about...
What did I say? First one I said was...
Married twice.
Oh, married twice. Announced Mayweather tension in Tokyo in front of 60,000 people. And the third one was I lied my way into doing Friday Night Fights as my very first fight that I announced.
I think the Mayweather.
No, I announced Mayweather tension in Tokyo, 60,000 people.
Oh, you did.
Yeah,
you ain't been married twice.
I lied my way.
I was gonna say the married part, but I said, damn, you know,
like, Latino, you know, right?
Four times, you know.
See, Latinos get married like 17 times, yo. That's not right.
I know.
He like, nah, he looks like he's been married twice.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I said, nah, hell no. Man.
Yeah. No, I've been married once. I did lie my way into getting on ESPN Friday Night Fights. It was supposed to be a club card. I lied and said I'd been announcing for a long time. I never stepped in the ring before and done it. And it ended up being a Friday Night Fights. So that's how I got started. Yeah, so it was crazy. So yeah, I've only been married once, and I probably won't ever get married again. So yeah, we're good on that one. Cece.
First one, my graduating class had 42 kids in it. The second one is my favorite meal is a combination of broccoli and cauliflower. And the third one is I'm really good at tennis.
Bro, I'm gonna let you answer, but that broccoli, that's got me.
Yeah, the second one you said, I don't know. I think that's a lie.
Yeah, the second one was my graduating class had 42 kids in it.
No, you said the second one was broccoli and cauliflower.
No, the first one was my favorite meal is a combination of broccoli and cauliflower, and then my graduating class had 42 kids in it, and the last one is I'm really good at tennis.
What do you think? I think the first one.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody be broccoli and cauliflower the favorite meal.
I'm a vegetarian. Days. I love broccoli and cauliflower. I've been using
you miss it out.
It was a tenant.
Nah, yeah. My graduating class had 42 kids in it. I can't play tennis.
Broccoli and cauliflower? Girl, come on with that.
I love you haven't had my broccoli and even my kids, like their favorite dish is broccoli.
Look, I know vegetarians, they be eating that tofu tacos and shit. They don't eat just a broccoli and cauliflower. That's just
no, you gotta season up your vegetables. You gotta treat it with respect. I'm a country girl. I know how to grow stuff.
So. We are so happy for you. We're happy for what is happening to you right now. Because we are older. We wish you the best, and we wish you, just like Fat Joe is trying to tell you, like he tried to tell 6ix9ine, and 6ix9ine didn't listen.
Yeah.
Like Tracy Morgan is telling you, stay humble, bro. It's okay to be, dude, you look at my Instagram, I post 20 times a day. The hell with it. I do what I do. But at the end of the day, we have to be so blessed to be thankful for where we're at, and just take it all in, bro, and just give it to the people that love you, give to the people that respect you. Always make sure the fans are first, man, and you'll be at the highest level, bro. We're so proud of you, man. Keep up the streak. We hope it goes until you break the record. Thank you for joining us. You're welcome here back anytime. And CC, you can close it out, but it's good to meet you. You're on my IG. We'll contact more, and we'll link up soon, man. All right, bro.
We've been talking with 23-year-old, 14-0, Edgar Berlanga, super middleweight. You might know him as the Chosen One. Check him out. When are you fighting again? Do we know?
We don't have an exact fight date, but we're looking at the month of October. So
okay.
I'm in the gym, I'm training, whatever, but I think Monday or Tuesday, we're going to finalize a fight date.
And give us your social media.
Instagram, Real Edgar Berlanga, Facebook, Edgar Berlanga, and Twitter, Edgar Berlanga Jr.
The IG's hot.
It's popping. It is definitely popping. Yeah. Well, blessings to you and your family. We hope to see you again soon. Come back anytime.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Later, bro.
Take care. Bye now.
He's cool, man. He's a cool cat.
Sweet. Yeah, you like cool to cat. See.
You know, the cool thing is that he realizes, you know, the family and the humbleness has to stay there. And it gets hard. It gets hard because if he keeps on doing this streak, 18, 19, 20, you know, with 20 knockouts, I mean, the people are just going to bombard him. And I just hope that he stays on the right path. And he seems like he has a really good head on his shoulders. And who knows? Maybe we might see that David Edgar fight down the line. It would be fantastic. You never know.
You know, David's on the other side of the street. So it would be nice to bring the streets together into another.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I'd love to see that. Well,
we'll talk about that on another show.
We better see Terrence Crawford first.
Yes, for sure. What you got going on for the rest of the week? We're not doing Friday. We're off on Friday. We're taking a break.
Yes, we are off on Friday. I actually have UFC 252. I'll be at the press conference tomorrow with Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic. And it's a legacy fight for both of these guys. Whoever wins will go down as the biggest, the best heavyweight, I guess, in UFC history. And
wait, is it Friday or Saturday?
It's Saturday. So Thursday is a big press conference between the two of them. Friday's weigh-in, and then Saturday is the fight. So, hello, Sky Moore. We see you chiming in. Good to see you.
Thank you very much. That's dope.
Good to see you again. Glad. Cool. Nice Thank to you. Hear you like boxing.
That's a cool compliment.
This is what we do. And speaking of what we do, we're going to see you back next Wednesday and then again on Friday after that. So thanks for joining us. I'm Cassandra Cousineau for Levels. And the guy that's pointing, that is rambling.
Rambling around, baby. We out. You guys be good.
Bye now.
Take care.